Let me flip over this mic. Okay, I think I got it. Did I get it? We're on, right? All right, good. Folks, I've been asked to make a special announcement. I know that we usually do announcements after the service. I may forget. Have you ever forgotten anything before? So this is an important announcement. I want to make sure we get it. On Sunday, December 12th, following the morning church service in the gym, we will be holding our Christmas luncheon. Everyone is invited. There will be a catered meal. A catered meal. The cost is $20 for adults only. Only for the adults. Children eat free. And it says, regardless of how many you might have. I won't go there. Okay? We need to have you pay when you sign up. It is important that you give us the correct number for your family. And this month, the sign-up must be by December 5th. So you know the important announcement now. All right? There's going to be other announcements going by as the other announcements are in the, they're in the bulletin, they're on the board. I'm not going to mess with them, all right? But I want to make sure we got this one right at least, okay? Amen? Greetings from beautiful downtown Hawks, where we have less snow than you. I mean, we just had just this little skiff of snow on the ground, and as I drove south, the worst sick God, and as I went south, I was chuckling. But I am sure that the time will come when we will catch up, big time. So thank you for your support of Bethel Youth Camp. I've been asked to make just a little announcement about what's been going on at the camp. And I want you to know, we've been in the trenches. We've been in the trenches. Would you show that those pictures for me? All right. Now, church, we are running in this picture a four-foot-deep trench line for a water line. Okay, hold that one. Hold that one for me, all right? See that guy there in the middle of that trench? That's me. That's me. We've been running water line and electric line to the new pavilion. We've got the water, and water line has to be deep, deep, deep down up there because it's so cold. So that's a 50-inch trench that I'm working in and getting that water line run. I'm happy to say water line's all done. All right? Yeah, amen. We are also running electric to the pavilion. That has been a challenge. This line, the reason we have that big backhoe there is because we tried to use a little backhoe and it wouldn't do the job. It just wouldn't even come close. I mean, it'd dig a little bit and then the hole would collapse. So we had to get in a big backhoe. That's 200 feet of line in that trench. We went 300 feet for the electric line, but that doesn't have to be so deep. And the electric line is now officially in the ground. It's in the ground, but it's not hooked up till spring. So we've turned a good portion of the yard at the camp into a mess. But it was absolutely necessary to take and get this done. And those are volunteers out there helping me. Go ahead, flip through the rest of them, maybe go through them one more time. There's the electric line. Oh, guys, it's been fun. I won't say fun. It has been a challenge. It's been a challenge getting this job done. But you know what? When you get challenged, you step up and you do what you got to do to get it done. So we praise the Lord for that. This is going to be something excellent for that pavilion. We're going to have lights out there. We're going to have outlets out there. We're going to have water out there. So we're really excited about that. Please keep Bethel Youth Camp and my wife and I. Where is my sweet wife? Where is she? Over there. Stand up and let them look at how good you look. What? Do you think? Do you think being a grandparent times five is just not made her look so good? I mean, we have just had our fifth grandchild, and let me tell you, I do not exist. All she wants to do is talk about grandkids, go see grandkids, and all of that. And I've grown to live with it. I understand. I love my grandkids too. But they're her world. They are absolutely her world. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her a bit. Grandkids are great. All right. I want to preach. I just love preaching. It's my thing, you know. It's my thing. Today's sermon is entitled, "The Answer to Your Prayer is at the Door." The answer to your prayer is at the door. Now, this sermon isn't going to be my average sermon. We're going to go about things a little bit different. Sometimes different is good, don't you think? All right, we're going to read a lengthy text. It's 17 verses. Turn to Acts chapter 12. All right? Acts chapter 12. We're going to read a lengthy text from Acts chapter 12. But the text doesn't really explain itself well. It's one of those things where if you just read it, you may not get the whole story. So I'm going to go verse by verse through that text, and I'm going to explain to you what's going on. And then at the end, I'm going to make three statements, 3 points, and we'll call her a day. Is that all right? I'll try to finish by 4 o'clock. All right? By the way, as you study this text, I want you to know something. It breaks down into 2 parts. The first part is the text going down like the Titanic. It goes down and down and down and down until it's in the absolute drudges. Then at one point it pauses and then it shoots up like a rocket. It shoots up like a rocket. So I want you to be aware of that. We're going to be explaining that as we go through the text. But let's read it now. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. The answer to your prayer is at the door. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when they had apprehended him, they put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Now, that 4 quaternions is 4 squads of 4. How many we have there? 16 soldiers are in prison and have nothing better to do than to watch Peter. Follow with me. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Peter would have brought him forth that same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, He said, "Now I know of a surety the Lord has sent me his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, "It was his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when he had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how that the Lord had brought them out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Thus reads Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Your word is the power here. It's not me. I know that. Your word is the power. Your spirit here is the power. Oh, Father, I yield this time into your hands. I pray that you will allow me to give these people your message. I pray, Father, that you will allow these people to hear the word of God and apply it to their lives. I pray, Father, that Jesus will be glorified in this service. I plead with you, Father, that if there's any here who are lost or have a spiritual need, that today is the day that they will make things right for thee. We yield this service into your hands. Bless it according to your purposes. In Jesus' name I pray, with thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, now, once again, remember this. The text goes down like the Titanic, and then it goes up like a rocket. Keep your Bibles open to this text. Just keep them right open there. As I go through this text, I'm going to be explaining things to you about it verse by verse, and then we're going to form a few conclusions. Follow with me. Verse 1 starts out pretty bad. King Herod is attacking the church. He is vexing the church. What's that mean? What's that mean? He's trying to harm it. He's trying to harm it. All right? He's not seeking to destroy it yet, but he's seeking to harm the church. I wonder, have we ever seen a government not like the church? I wonder. May have seen that recently. Follow with me. All right. Now, this isn't the same in verse 1. This isn't the same Herod that attacked Christ and John the Baptist. That was Herod Antipas. Okay, this was Herod Agrippa, who was his grandson. The political situation here is dismal. Have we ever been in a dismal political situation? I wonder. Now, that's verse 1. Verse 2 gets worse. Okay? We see the martyrdom in verse 2 of James, the brother of John, by the sword. They killed him. They just killed him with a sword. Now, we now see believers being killed for their faith. The political situation now has gotten worse. I wonder, have we anywhere seen Christians killed for their faith? Follow with me. Now, King Herod, in order to please the Jews of that day, he says, hey, in verse 3, they liked it when we killed James, the brother of John. Let's go get someone else. So Herod decides, all right, we got one. Let's go get Peter. The situation is diving fast. All right? For political aspiration, they want to kill believers. That's the only reason. Political aspiration. Do we ever see political aspiration getting in the way of our faith? Follow with me, all right? All right, now, it wasn't enough to kill one Christian. Let's get someone else. So it's going downhill fast. Now in verse 4, in this verse we see Peter is caught and he is held by a good band of soldiers. 16 soldiers have been sent to get one believer. 16 soldiers! What do you say to that? Follow with me. After Easter, which is the Passover, which we celebrate today as Resurrection Sunday, Peter would be brought before the people and be martyred. Follow with me. So now it's 16 soldiers to hold one man. And they were to hold him until Herod could present Peter to the people after the Passover. Now, verse 5. Verse 5, folks, put stars, underline, fireworks, whatever you want around verse 5. This is it. This is the part that makes the difference. In verse 5, this is our key verse, all right? The scene changes to a small church. How do I know it's a small church? It's meeting in a house. How big can it be if it's meeting in a house, right? Amen? Listen to me. God loves the little church. God loves the little church. He don't care about the size of the church. He cares about the heart of the church. Follow with me. The scene changes to a small church meeting in a home. And what's happening? In the middle of the night, they are on their knees before God. They are praying and they are praying and they are praying. They are weeping. They are crying out to God for Peter. And they're pleading with God to intervene for Peter. Verse 6, it hits absolute rock bottom now. We're at the bottom. Peter is in prison and it's almost over for him. It's almost done. Passover is almost done. And tomorrow they would bring Peter before Herod and martyr him. That last night he is in prison behind lots and lots of locked doors, and he is chained to a soldier on one side and on the other. What do you think they were talking about? What do you think those two soldiers would be saying to Peter, knowing tomorrow is his last day? What do you think they'd be saying? Oh, let's guess. Hey, Peter, you're done tomorrow. And they would be mocking him. They would be as cruel to him as they could. They would be laughing at him. Where's your God right now? Hey, you realize you're a dead man come tomorrow? That's the kind of language. They would be swearing at him. They'd be cursing at him. They'd be mocking his God. They'd be saying all this other garbage. That's the bottom of this text. Verse 7, though, everything changes. The angel of the Lord enters the prison. The special angel has a glow and a light about him that lights up the area. And this angel taps Peter on the side and says, Peter, get up now. He was asleep, all right? And with those words, those chains that were holding him, they just fell off. They just fell off. And then in verse 8, Peter is told by this special angel to grab his stuff and put on your shoes and put on your clothes and follow me. Peter's kind of waking up, and this is so strange. It's hard to believe, but this angel is there, and the chains are coming off. And he says, come on, Peter, let's go. We're getting out of here. Follow with me. So now in verses 9 through 10, we see Peter following this angel out of the prison. Chains are falling off, doors are opening up, and not a soldier, not one soldier, was waking up. It was absolutely amazing. Peter's dumbfounded by this whole thing. He can't quite tell what's going on. He's saying to himself, am I even awake? Is this a dream? Follow with me. He's not even sure. Is this a vision? What's going on? He's not sure yet. Have you ever woke up hard and not know what was going on? Maybe it was something like that. Maybe it was just too much to hope for. But Peter wasn't sure of what was going on yet. Follow with me. When he gets to the last gate there in verse 10, it just opens up. You know, like Star Trek, boom. That last gate out of there just opens up in front of him. He's not sure what's happening yet. Follow with me. And Peter was out of the prison and safe from the soldiers. And now this angel leaves. In verse 11, Peter is kind of coming to. He's kind of coming to now. He's starting to understand that this wasn't a vision at all. And he's starting to realize that he has been the recipient of a marvelous miracle of God. And he has been freed from the prison using this special angel. Now you got to look hard at verse 12. All right, verse 12. All right. So now what does Peter want to do now? Well, it's the middle of the night. What would you do? I don't know, but I probably wouldn't go to church. It's the middle of the night. But look what's happening here. We have a band of believers praying their hearts out to God to do something for Peter. And as soon as Peter comes through the problem, he is thinking about them. God, they are praying for Peter, and Peter is being touched for them. Don't you love it? Don't you love that? As they were praying, Peter, although it don't make a lot of sense, he's deciding in the middle of the night he needed to go to church. What's going on? The Spirit of God is moving from this church and touching the heart and mind of Peter. Glory! Whew, that's awesome, isn't it? Now follow with me, all right? Verse 13. Now there's a scene change. We go back to this house where there's this little band of believers. It couldn't have been a huge band. How many church members can meet in a house? But they're there, and they're just pouring their heart out to God. They are pouring their heart out to God. And as they are praying, Peter comes up to the gate. He comes up to the door, and he's knocking. Hey, guys, it's me. Let me in. Well, there's this person here. Her name is Rhoda. This lady's name is Rhoda, and she's there just in prayer with the group, and she must have been by a window or something, but she hears the knocking on the gate. I'm sure Peter is kind of being quiet, kind of quiet about this because he's now a convict, an escaped convict. All right, so he's not one to draw attention to himself. But Rhoda hears the knock. And it's interesting. What does she do? She steps out. That's Peter. I recognize that voice. Now follow with me. This is really strange here. Okay. Rhoda walks out, and as she is praying, she hears Peter asking for them to open the door and let him in. Now, verse 14 is interesting. Okay, let me ask you a question, guys. All right, you step outside, you hear Peter saying, "Let me in." What would you do? You'd go open the door. She's floored. She don't know what to do. She is amazed. She has been praying her heart out. This small church has been praying their hearts out. And they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. And Rhoda doesn't have the mind to go answer the gate. She rushes in. She rushes into this prayer meeting, this special prayer meeting. She forgot to open the gate. And she says, "Hey, guys. Peter's at the gate. He's at the gate." Verse 15, these praying believers, they say, "Ah, no. No way. Peter's not there." And they start making up excuses. It's probably a spirit. It's probably just the spirit of Peter. Rhoda, you don't know what you're saying. But she wouldn't be stopped. She keeps going, he's at the gate. He's at the gate. Our prayer is answered. He's at the gate. What would you do to solve this question? Go to the gate. No. They can't figure it out. They are beyond amazed is why. They are beyond amazed. And Peter is just knocking at the gate saying, guys, let me in. Let me in. So finally, someone says, let's go check the gate. They go and they open the gate. And there's Peter. Man, what a meeting that was. They bring them in. They don't know what's happening. They don't understand it. All they know is they have been praying their heart out for Peter. And he's at the gate. Let me tell you, these guys start getting a little, for sake of another word, let's just say they get religious. They get the Spirit. Man, these guys are about to go full-blown Pentecostal. They're wanting to scream. They're wanting to yell. They're wanting to praise God. They're wanting to say glory to God. But Peter is a convict. They're after me, guys. Shh. Shh. Keep it down a little bit. I don't want to go back to prison. Follow with me. He then goes to them, and their eyes are amazed at what they're seeing. They're just amazed. And he tells the story of how God miraculously released him from the guards in the prison. And then Peter tells them to share the story with the other James. And he had to depart because he was now an escaped prisoner. Well, let me ask you this. Don't you love it when God shows off? Amen? God is showing off in this text. Oh, he's just proven himself to be God. And man, I never get tired of watching God show off. Amen? All right, for honor of Michigan, if you want to, instead of saying amen, say go blue. Okay. Follow with me. Don't you love it when God shows off? Folks, I've said all this to make 3 points with you. God loves to answer prayers, certain prayers, quickly. He doesn't want to make us wait. He doesn't make us put off. When God answers prayers in a general form, they can be with a yes or a no or a wait a while. But there are 3 specific prayers that I believe God answers immediately. Immediately. You don't have to wait around. He will respond very quickly to these prayers. And that's where I want to take you today. We're going to preach until we're done here. Amen. Follow with me. I don't even have a watch on, but I'm going to try and go fast. Follow with me. The answer to your soul's need is at the door. Follow with me. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 10 and 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Glory to God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want you to know something. You go to God as a sinner, and you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And you understand that the gospel was given for you. And you understand that Christ is the Savior and the only hope you have of heaven. You go to the Lord and you say, God, I need to be saved. He will not make you wait. Amen. He will not make you wait. Over over a few chapters in the book of Acts, a story similar to this one happens. And there was a prisoner named Paul that, once again, was marvelously released from prison. And there was a jailer there from Philippi, the Philippian jailer. And it's a similar story. He looked in, and when he saw the chain, that the chains were down, he realized his life was over. By the way, footnote, those 16, because they lost their prisoner, died. Payback's tough. The Philippian jailer didn't know what to do. He saw his life is over, so he takes his sword and he holds it to himself and he's getting ready to thrust himself through. And Paul cries out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he goes in with the light, not one prisoner left. And he goes and goes to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And you know what? When he prayed that prayer, it was done. He did not have to wait. He did not have to wait. Listen to me. You go to God for need for Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all you've got to do is confess that you're a sinner. Amen? Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He came to be your blood sacrifice for your sin. And you just throw yourself upon Him. Throw yourself upon Him saying, "Lord, I need You. I'm a sinner and You're my only hope. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul." God will not make you wait. He'll answer it right now. Amen? Glory to God, huh? But there's another one. If you got a second, you can turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. If you don't have time, it's okay. I'll read it. The answer to enough grace to face life is at the door. The answer to enough grace to face life is at the door. Listen to Paul here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. "Unless I should be exalted above measure," he had a pride problem, "through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me. And He said unto me," He didn't make him wait. "He said unto me," God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." Paul was burdened by this thorn in the flesh. We could talk all day about what we think it is. It won't help us right now. But he was burdened about it. It was holding him back, he thought. He thought it was hurting his cause. So he goes to the Lord and he says three times, he goes to the Lord and he says, "Lord, this thorn in the flesh, get rid of it." God said no. If it's God ever told you no, deal with it. He knows what He's doing. Amen? You hear me? If God gave you everything you wanted, you'd be just like a child that was never told no. That's a mess. When we pray, we trust God's judgment. Amen? Too much to say. Paul said, "Lord, just get rid of it. I'm so tired of it." Lord said, "No, but I'm going to give you something better. Paul, I'm going to give you my grace. And you will learn that my grace is sufficient for thee." He answered him right away. There's no waiting on it. There's no wait. He asked him three times. The Lord told him three times, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Listen to me, church. Life may be a struggle for you. I don't know. I had a man in my office crying his heart out over the struggles our nation is going through. He's eating them alive. We live in a struggle time, kind of, don't you think? Don't you think? Is this a struggle time? Not as bad as it was, I don't think, but we're still in a struggle, amen? Follow with me. You know Christ is your Savior. The grace of God is sufficient to see you through every trial you face. I want to tell you about the grace of God. It's never early. Doesn't come early. But it's never late. It's never late. It's always on time. And it's always enough. I was counseling a man going through a deep struggle. Not long ago, I cried for him. Here's what I told him. When this is over with, you're going to look back. And you're going to see where your love of God was enough to get you through this situation. Listen to me. You may not know it and you may not feel it, but when you look back on it, the grace of God will be sufficient in your life. Follow with me. The answer to more grace is at the door. Amen. My third point. James chapter 1 and verse 5. I'll read this one for you. You don't have to look. I'll read it. Keep it simple. Amen. The answer to sufficient wisdom is at the door. Listen to the book of James chapter 1 and verse 5. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them. Now, I'm going to give you my desktop definition of wisdom. This is my definition. You can choose to accept it or reject it. Wisdom is learning to see life from God's perspective. What do you think? Does that work for you? Wisdom is learning to see life from God's perspective. I have a burden for young people, as you know. Today's young person has more knowledge than I've ever seen anybody have. With the rise of the internet, our children have had access to much more knowledge. But not that much wisdom all the time. I was studying the book of Proverbs the other day. Solomon is writing there, and he's challenging young people to seek wisdom. Seek it like it was gold. Seek it like it was the most precious of all things. You know what? I have met some people that have wisdom, but I haven't met anyone who has enough wisdom. I don't know anybody that can say, "Oh, I've got enough wisdom." Do you? Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's perspective. When I go into a home that's facing death, I plead with God, Lord, we know how this looks, but please help us to see this from your perspective. Boy, does that change things. When we learn to see life from God's perspective, does that not change a lot? Listen to me. You go to God and you've got this situation that you've got to face and you're not sure what to do. I'm going to tell you something. God answers pretty quick. Lord, I need your wisdom on this. You show me what I need to do. He doesn't make us wait much. He wants to give us wisdom, is what James says, and he wants to give us lots of it. God doesn't make us wait when we ask Him for wisdom. So there's the big three. You ask God for salvation, you won't wait a second. Amen? You ask God for grace, you will not wait long. Then you ask God for wisdom. He'll supply it. He says He will. He's not going to make you wait much. He will supply. Now, let's think of this. We're at the door at this altar. We're at the door at this altar. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want you to know something. You come down here, we will show you the truth of the gospel. We will show you the truth. And you can walk away from this place praying that prayer and knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord. You don't have to go away without enough. Amen? Maybe the struggles of life have gotten you down and you're just in a battle and it's just fighting. It's just hurting you and it's hurting you and hurting you. And God doesn't seem to want to remove it. There's grace at the door. Amen? There's grace at the door. You might say, God, I don't know why you're doing this. I don't know why you won't answer me the way I think you should. Talk to Him about it. Grace for living is at the door. He'll answer. He'll answer. Maybe you're facing a decision that's difficult. Man, one side says this, one side says that. I just really don't know what I'm going to do. We don't need knowledge. We need wisdom from on high. Amen? And I want you to know, it's at the door. It's right here. All you've got to do is ask. So we're going to close out this service now. We're going to have a moment of invitation. And we're going to invite you to do whatever God tells you to do. Whatever the case, whatever the need, as God speaks to your heart, you do what He asks you to do. Father, that's the sermon. We give it into your hands. We ask you, Father, to give us what we need from this sermon. Father, maybe we need salvation. Maybe we need grace. Maybe we need wisdom. Maybe there's another need that I don't know about. We rejoice in knowing that you hear us. We rejoice in knowing that you know what's best. And Father, give us grace to trust you now as we go into this time of invitation. Father, don't let us go away without receiving what we need from this church, this sermon today. For it's in the name of Christ I pray with thanksgiving. Let's all stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed. eyes closed. Folks, that's a sermon. If you feel the need to come forward for whatever the case, whatever the need, I'm telling you, the answer is at the door, amen? The answer is at the door. All you've got to do is come forward as we sing. Brother Ron?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
God's people said, oh, I was hoping for gold blue. No, I'm teasing. Hey, glory to God, huh? Now listen, you take this sermon home. And when you're alone tonight, you open that door to grace. You open that door to salvation. You open that door to wisdom. They're available to all believers. Amen. The answer is at the door. Glory to God. All right. I wasn't sure if I'd remember. I remembered. All right. Remember December 12th? Following morning church, there's going to be a Christmas luncheon. Everyone is invited. This will be a catered meal. $20. And bring all the kids. Good deal. Good deal, huh? All right. And you need to pay when you sign up. It's important that you give the correct number for your family. It's going to be catered. It's going to be fun. It's going to be special. Amen. All right. Let's have one final prayer and we'll be dismissed. Good day and God bless you all. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Father, that's the sermon. Use it now to accomplish your purposes in these people. Use us, bless us, and guide us. Protect us. Love us. May we glorify your Son in the things we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're dismissed.